Hello, world. Welcome to another edition of Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. This is your host, Louis Patron, once again. I again appreciate your joining me, especially tonight. My poor little show from Key West is in competition this evening with the President of the United States. But at the same time that I am starting this show, he is doing his international television broadcast from the White House on the Syrian situation. If anyone is listening to this show, mine, I will be surprised. If you are, I appreciate it. What the president has to say is more important than me. I'm not being humble. He's the decision maker. I'm not. I am just going to give an opinion or two. If you wish to call in and talk with me, if there's anyone out there listening to me, the number is 646-478-5731. It's on your screen, 646-478-5731. I will be happy to hear from you. Okay, I'm going to start with Syria, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Syria. I've had it up to, you know, my nose here on Syria, to my eyeballs. It's above my head. It's the only important thing in the news. It's everything in the news. But it's important. It's very important. From the first instance, going back several months ago, I have talked on my television show, I've written in my newspaper column, that I was opposed and I am opposed to us getting involved in any fashion in the civil war in Syria. Especially as things got hotter here and the president says, well, they got, you know, chemicals. They're using it on their people. It bothers me. It bothers you. We're all human. On the other hand, 100,000 people have been killed by Assad already with, you know, guns and bombs. 1,400 get killed with chemicals. We're going to go crazy. I don't know where the national interest is. We have to safeguard the national interest if we go to war. I don't care if we only drop one load of bombs on some air base out in Syria. That is an act of war, okay? And I don't see the national interest involved here. No question a crime has been committed. Assad, I agree, I'll buy it. Assad has chemically killed 1,400 people, 400 of which are children. I've seen the pictures on television, just as you have. It's sickening. It's disgusting. So a crime has been committed. I have not heard, nor have you, Secretary of State Kerry, President Obama, or anyone else, show proof as to who committed the crime, who killed these people. I am still of the mind that it could be the rebel side who are trying to suck the United States into this conflict. And one of the reasons I say that is where the chemicals were used and the people killed is in an area that is not so much controlled by Assad, but is controlled by the rebels, and not the rebels per se, but the Al-Qaeda portion of the rebels. As we all know, Al-Qaeda is an active influencing portion or part of the rebels in Syria. And there's some thought that perhaps Al-Qaeda did this. I don't know. I just know crime's been committed. We don't know who did it. We should not go to war over this. It violates our Constitution. I believe the president has the right to do anything he wants in this regard. He backed off, though. The whole world's against this thing. And Congress is against this thing. And I'm going to tell you, the people of the United States are against this. Can everyone be wrong and he is right? I don't know. It appears, however, that by President Obama rattling the saber, he did some good, because the last 48 hours have been nothing less than weird and chaotic. I thought the president made a mistake a year ago when he drew the red line, there's chemical weapons are used. I think he just talked out of turn and he said something. Now a year later, he's got to back it up when there's proof that chemicals were used to kill people. We don't know who. We can't prove that. And so he's stuck now, and he's got to save face, and he's got to save face not only for himself, but for the United States, because when he speaks for the United States. Now, Russia comes into play here. I love Russia. They were a power once. They were the Soviet Union. They are no longer the Soviet Union. Putin makes him, wants Russia to be bigger than it is today. Russia is a little country that has power and influence because they have a storehouse of nuclear weapons left over from World War II and the Cold War. And that makes them a power. Plus, they have that seat on the Security Council forever in the United Nations. But they're really a little guy today who wants to be a big guy. Now, why is Russia so interested in everything that's going on? I'm going to tell you something. A big part of it is money, oil. Follow the money, follow the oil. Russia's main production item, its biggest moneymaker as a country, is petroleum, is oil. That's 70%, I think, of their gross national product. They're turning out oil big time. They need to get that oil out of Russia. One of the ways they do it is they have a base, a Navy base, on the northern end of Syria. And Syria lets them run this base as they want to. Their business gets hurt. Their oil business gets hurt dramatically if that base is closed down, that naval base at the end of Syria. Additionally, there are gas pipes that go through Syria right now that take Russian oil that doesn't go out, that comes into Syria through the boats to the seaport, and do not go out over an oil tanker, but they go through Syria through these oil pipes. The Saudis use these oil pipes also for their oil. Everybody loves the oil pipes that exist in Syria. And countries that are oil producing need these oil pipes in order to move their product out of the Middle East. And besides all this, there are huge deposits of natural gas that have yet to be developed, huge deposits in Syria. So it's all over oil. It's all over gas product. It's all over how to move it. Russia's got an interest because it will hurt their economy if they can't. If there's a war there, forget anything. Russia doesn't want a war. It's not that they're going to go to war on the side of Assad. They don't want a war because a war is going to screw up that seaport. It's going to blow it up probably. A war is going to blow up those pipelines, and their economy is going to go down the tubes. They need those pipelines. Saudi Arabia doesn't need them as bad, but they want them. And they're in the background futzing around with Russia, sometimes on their side, sometimes on our side. They're the whores of the universe, the Saudis. These are the same people that helped give us 9/11. If you recall, most of the terrorists on 9/11 flying those planes, on those planes, were citizens of Saudi Arabia. Citizens of Saudi Arabia. These are supposed to be our friends for 100 years or better, the Saudis. And they're over there playing ball with Russia. Then they're not playing ball with Russia. You can't trust them. Now, in the end, I think this whole thing's going to work out now. And it's amazing how this whole thing works out. Kerry inadvertently said something in the last 48 hours in his speech that, you know, if Assad said he would turn over all the chemical weapons to an international body, that could help take care of the thing and avoid a conflict. It wasn't planned. You can see by the way he said it and based on every news report. And immediately Russia comes into the picture and said, great idea, great idea. Let's have Assad give up the chemical weapons, then there's no need for war. Then most certainly that seaport won't be blown up and those oil pipes that are desperately needed to transport the petroleum product will not be destroyed. But it's good because it helps to avoid a war. Now, I believe this isn't a one-shot deal. If we go bomb something over in Saudi Arabia, Iran or somebody else is going to bomb something in our country or with one of our friends, and we're starting a third world war. You can't screw around that way. It's not worth a third world war over this issue. And I'm going to tell you why. They say, oh, there's an international treaty that I think 187 countries have signed on to. Syria has not, and they say chemical weapons are not to be used, et cetera. They should be destroyed. I find this amusing that we are criticizing Syria in this regard, the United States. We don't have clean hands. We used Agent Orange during Vietnam. Do you recall? How many of our soldiers are still suffering today the effects of Agent Orange, a bad chemical? How many people were killed in Vietnam? How many people were injured and permanently maimed in Vietnam? How many babies were born afterwards in Vietnam missing limbs because of Agent Orange? How many people in Vietnam came down with cancer because of Agent Orange? And we delivered, that was our product, we manufactured it, we delivered it to Vietnam, and we blasted the hell out of that country with that stuff for years. It's on the bad list now, and we're destroying our Agent Orange, but look what we did. I'm going to give you a Today product that's on that list, and I don't understand how this works. Tear gas. Tear gas is on the list. Now, but yet, every time we have, if we have a public demonstration in some city, and the police are involved, and things are starting to get out of hand, they use tear gas. You're not supposed to use tear gas. It's on that list, that international list of bad stuff. I don't know what's going to happen here. This is beyond my pay grade, this whole thing. I can express what I think as a citizen, and that is it. I suspect nothing's going to come of this. Assad's going to say, okay, I'll get rid of my product. I'll sign up with the international group. Hopefully we'll be able to verify and we'll get most of it, if not all of it, over a period of time. I worry about us sending guns and weapons and missiles over to help the rebels, because at least a third of the rebel people are Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda is our sworn enemy. We are their enemy, and inevitably, indubitably, it's going to happen. Down the road, they're going to use, Al-Qaeda's going to use those guns, weapons, and training against us. Okay, let's move on to something else that's very interesting. And this ties Saudi Arabia into Al-Qaeda. Saudi Arabia recently had 1,239 people on death row. They kill people over there. But they don't kill you just for murdering someone. I mean, they kill women for adultery. They kill people for strange things over there. A lot of people on death row, 1,239. The law says that you get executed by sword, which means they chop people's heads off. You bend down, you kneel down, and boom, your head's gone. Barbaric. Now, these 1,239 people weren't just from Saudi Arabia. They were from all other Middle East countries who got in trouble in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia said to all 1,239, this is all documented, my friends, we will not kill you. We will relieve you of your sentence. We will support your families here in Saudi Arabia if you go to fight on the side of Al-Qaeda in Syria. You heard me. Go fight on the side of Al-Qaeda in Syria. You don't lose your head. Your family gets taken care of. Obviously, a ton of them went. I don't know if all of them went. Russia objected. You know, sometimes I think Putin's trying to walk a good line, a straight and narrow line, and do the right thing. He just doesn't know how. His training prohibits it. His life prohibits it. But Russia protested. He said, no way, Jose. Saudi Arabia still did it. I told you earlier, they don't necessarily get along all the time. They get along less than they get along. Saudi Arabia and Russia. They objected. It didn't do any good. So over 1,000 murderers by Saudi Arabia law are now working and fighting for Al-Qaeda in Syria because the Saudis let them go to fight with Al-Qaeda. They're our friends, Al-Qaeda. I'm not Al-Qaeda. They're our friends, the Saudis. Remember? Let's move on to something healthy and good and put a smile on your face. There is good in this world. There's much good in this world. We're in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're at the Inter-Asian Market and Deli. Just a small star. Inter-Asian Market and Deli, Nashville, Tennessee. 10 years ago, the owner was robbed of $300. a druggie. A person on drugs came in, held him up, stole $300. This man came back in recently, this past week, in fact. 10 years later, he comes back to the store, the thief, the drug addict, and gives the guy an envelope. The owner doesn't recognize him. Gives him an envelope and walks out. In the envelope, it's $400, $100 more, and a note that said, "I was a drug addict. I hurt many people. I do not use drugs anymore, and I want to make amends to the people I hurt." Isn't that terrific? There is good in this world. Let's move on to global warming. You see, my friends, there are other things in this world to talk about besides Syria, though Syria is an important issue and has to be discussed. Let's talk about global warming. I'm going to call it global cooling tonight. We have heard for years, and I have been an advocate of and a believer in, the fact that we have global warming, and it's going to kill us. It's going to hurt the world. There's no question about it. I see it here in the Keys. The water is rising. My house is on the water. 50 years from now, I don't know if it's going to be there. I don't even know if Key West is going to exist. We have heard and we have seen over the years now how the Arctic and Antarctic, the ice is melting. We've seen pictures of it and so forth. Well, it was reported this week that the first time in years, the water didn't get warmer in the Arctic. It got colder. They call it global cooling. And the ice bank, whatever you want to call that thing, and they had pictures of it. They'd drawn pictures of it, with relationship to the land or so forth. The ice bank or the ice proper is much larger today than it was 1 year ago. Now, I don't know what happened, because if there's global warming, it should have been even smaller. But it picked up a lot, and it's much bigger, dramatically bigger. Does this mean there isn't global warming? I can't buy that. I hope we find out soon what made this happen. It's a good thing that it happened, but we better make sure we're doing the right thing all the time with this. We are on the right track. The Beatles. We're going to talk about the Beatles. The Beatles, the Beatles, the Beatles. Those wonderful musicians. The Beatles have... Since I'm here in Key West, I want to talk about the Beatles for a moment, because the Beatles touched the life of Key West at one time in a very interesting way. It's 1964. The Beatles are flying in their own private plane from Montreal to Jacksonville, Florida. They are going to appear at the Gator Bowl. And they're going to perform. Well, the Gator Bowl game, they're going to perform. And they understand that seating in the Gator Bowl at that time in 1964 was segregated. Remember, we didn't get civil rights till after Kennedy really is a law. It came under Johnson. And this was into the late 60s and the early 70s. This is 1964. They said they would refuse to perform if there was segregated seating. The Gator Bowl people relented, and there was not segregated seating. The people were mixed for the first time at the Gator Bowl, black and white. Well, it just so happened that the hotel they were staying at was segregated in Jacksonville. In fact, all the hotels in Jacksonville were segregated. And the Beatles did what they thought was right again, and they said, "We're not going to stay at that hotel unless they do away with segregation. And if they don't, find us a place that will," and they could not. They could not stay in a non-segregated hotel. It just so happened that Hurricane Dora was on its way and was due to hit Florida about the same time they were flying to Jacksonville. Dora hit in the Middle Keys and went up through Florida. Didn't really hit except for some rain in Jacksonville, but hit through the Middle Keys. Well, they said, they used the excuse, not what they said, their plane could not land in Jacksonville because of Hurricane Dora. And so it set down in Key West. Key West wasn't hit by the hurricane at all. It set down in Key West, and they stayed here for 2 days because of the storm in the northern part of Florida, they could not get out of Key West. As a result of which, they missed the Gator Bowl game, but they also avoided having to stay in a segregated hotel. That's a class operation. The Beatles were a class group. All right. We're covering a lot of interesting things tonight. I want to talk about Dennis Rodman for a moment. Dennis Rodman, spectacular basketball player with Chicago and Cleveland he played with. Won a lot of national championships. Great defensive player. He knocked that basketball down your throat when you were going up for a shot. He was destructive, especially on the boards. He was nuts. He's still nuts, I think. His body was full of tattoos, and he'd wear his hair punk, pink punk, yellow punk. It depended on the day of the week, and how he would cut it depended on the day of the week or the time of the month. Rodman, as you're aware, has become friends with the dictator of North Korea, Jung, J-U-N-G. They're buddies. A couple of months ago, Rodman was there. Rodman was a basketball player, loves basketball. Jung, the president of Korea, is 30 years old. He's a kid, comparatively speaking, to me. I'm 78. And even to Rodman. Rodman's got to be 60 years old. Jung's a basketball fan. So they played a little one-on-one together. They watched a couple of basketball games together. And I've got to just, they became asshole buddies, the only way to describe it. Rodman comes back and said, this is a great guy, should be friends with the president. And I thought, gee, that's not a bad idea. Obama likes to play basketball. If our president, Obama and Jung, had a little one-on-one and watched a couple of basketball games together, it might relieve a lot of the political problems and differences between our two countries. Because I've always thought that countries that are opposed to us are upset because once they become powerful, they are not permitted to sit at the table with the big guys. So I thought maybe we should have Jung sit down with Obama, talk basketball, do a little one-on-one, watch some games, see if they could come to some understanding. And then I read why it would not be a bad idea. Jung's married. He also had a girlfriend. He recently had his, I don't know why, he had his mistress executed. They put her against the wall and they shot her, a firing squad, no trial or anything. They got rid of her. He also, there were several pop artists. Pop music's popular in North Korea. Maybe Jung didn't like it, somebody didn't like it. But he took several popular pop artists, had them lined up against the walls in the last 2 years, friends, and had them machine gunned to death. So now I think this isn't the kind of guy that our president should sit down with. And I also think Rodman shouldn't sit down with him. Rodman just came back from a second trip. He's going to coach a North Korea basketball team. He's going back to train these guys. And he's starting to remind me of Jane Fonda, with all due respect to Jane Fonda, that she, during the Vietnam War, if you recall, went over and she talked with the North Vietnamese. She sat, they took a beautiful picture of her sitting on a tank, the sexy woman. She was in her prime. And it looked like she favored the North the Vietnamese, and she did at the time. She thought our government, was screwing them. We weren't. She was misdirected, just as Rodman is misdirected. A lot of sick people in this world. And I'm not talking about the president of North Korea now. I'm not talking about Dennis Rodman now. I'm not talking about Assad. I'm going to talk about basics. We have people who are alcoholics, addicted to alcohol. We have people who are addicted to sex. We have people who are addicted to drugs. We have people who are addicted to certain type drugs. And clinics have grown over the years all over the country to treat these as a specialty. You got a sex problem, you go to a sex clinic. You got an alcohol problem, go to an alcohol clinic. In the 30 to 60 days, they can pretty much straighten you out, hopefully, all right? Well, there's a new addiction out there in the world. You knew it was there. I knew it was there, but it really wasn't in the forefront of our mind until somebody told me about it and I checked it out. And I'm telling you if you didn't know. I'm talking about smartphones and laptops. Just think how many people are glued to their smartphones and their laptops today. It has been determined to be an addiction equal to alcohol, sex, and drugs. And all of a sudden, we've got clinics opening all over the United States to deal with smartphone and laptop addicts. Now, this isn't a cheapie. It costs $8,000 to go to one of these clinics as an outpatient. If you want to be an inpatient, which is highly recommended, it's $14,000. Not cheap, but it is a new illness. The doctors recognize it. The psychiatrists and psychologists recognize it. People are getting hooked on their computers, their smartphones, and their laptops. Let's talk about Chelsea. I'm not talking about Chelsea Clinton. I'm talking about Chelsea Manning. You remember, was it Bradley Manning? Yeah, Bradley Manning gave away our secrets, military man, I think Air Force. He was tried, found that he shouldn't have given away secret data, sentenced to 35 years in jail. A couple of days after he went to Fort Leavenworth, the military jail, he issued a public statement saying that he was not any longer Bradley Manning. He was Chelsea Manning. He was a female, had always been a female within himself, and wished to be treated henceforth as a female, and that he wanted hormone therapy to help develop his breasts. A spokesman for the Fort Leavenworth Military Jail said, "Ain't no way the United States' government's going to pay for hormone therapy to give him breasts. And if down the road he wants a sex change operation, he's not going to get that." Well, obviously, the spokesman didn't know that in civil jails, federal and state, across this nation, the United States Supreme Court decreed a couple of years ago that if someone is transgender, that's if you got one type body, but you're something else inside the other sex, You that's a medical disease problem. That is a serious medical problem, and you are entitled to adequate medical care from the government based on taxpayer dollars, of course. And adequate medical care means the very best. So if Bradley wants to be not only called Chelsea, but really wants to be Chelsea, you and I are going to end up paying for it. Let me see now. Oh, the reason I got into this, we all knew about it, is Chelsea's lawyer announced this week that he had applied for a pardon for Chelsea Manning for the president, and he thought that the president was going to pardon Bradley Chelsea Manning. I say good luck, because one of the primary things, one of the problems on Obama's plate is what? American secrets. Look at Edward Snowden, Bradley Manning. They're taking our secrets and passing them on to the whole world. Well, that's my show for this week. I was in competition with the president. I'm sure I've got about two people who listen to this. I hope a lot of you are picking it up, though, during the course of the week, because this is recorded and is rerun. And I would hope you're listening to it. About 2,000 people a week listen to the show where it's rerun and can be heard 24 hours a day. So I hope my numbers are big there, in spite of the fact that they're going to be extremely small this evening. Those of you who joined me, thank you. Those who are going to be listening during the course of the week to the recorded show, I thank you for listening also. Come back and listen to me next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. That's it, folks.